Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 Corinthians 13. This morning we are going to continue in our series on the fruit of the Spirit. And in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1, the Word of God says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not love, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing." The word nothing in the passage there in the original language literally means nothing, not one thing. People think to themselves, well, at least this much, but that's not what it says. It says not one thing. What it's saying here is that whatever outward performance, whatever outward production or works we may have, unless that production is through the love of God, it is absolutely meaningless. It has no meaning and it doesn't profit the person who is producing it at all. Don't ever think that you are your production. You are not. Don't ever think that God will evaluate your production. He will not. And 1 Corinthians 13 right here tells us that although I may do all these things and have all faith, without having the love of God, I am nothing. My evaluation and really my success is not in what I do, but in who I am. Do I have the love of God? Is my life about the love of God? Because in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love. It is agape love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. That means that the Holy Spirit within me produces love. The presence, the evidence of His presence in me is the fact that love is present. Where does that love come from? It comes from God. The Word of God tells us in 1 John 4 and verse 19. It comes from God. We love because He first loved us. It comes from God. The fruit of the Spirit is there as the result of God conforming us to the image of His Son. And His Son, we are told, is love. And therefore, if the Spirit is present, if we are in the Son, if we are expressing our portion as the body of Christ, we have and manifest the love of God. Now, love expresses. Love expresses. It doesn't have any way to do anything else. Love without expression is not actually love. If you look at the definition of love in 1 Corinthians 13, it is all about expression. It's not about emotion. It has no emotion in it. It is entirely about expression. In 1 John 4:20, if there is no expression of love, love is not present. The Word of God says there that if a man professes that he loves God but hates his brother, he is a liar. The word hate isn't what we think of as hate. It's not this passionate emotional loathing. That simply means absence of love. If anyone says that love is present toward God but absent toward another person, that person is lying. That is not possible to have love present for God and absent for people. So the manifestation of the love of God is because love is present as a fruit of the Holy Spirit, a fruit that the Holy Spirit reproduces in us, something that is reproduced through us, and then it is expressed by us. If we do not possess that, then we cannot say we possess love for God or man. If we do possess that, we will simply possess it without being a respecter of persons to whom that love is given. Now here's the thing. There are people who do not possess the fruit of the Spirit. Now that may simply be carnality, and it's very possible. However, we have to be extremely careful not to allow our carnality to go unchecked. If I habitually live in carnality, and I am never convicted by the Holy Spirit about my carnality, then the question must be asked, am I actually saved? And I say that because of what Matthew 7:21 says. Not everyone that calls Him Lord is actually saved. Not everyone who calls Him Lord will see the kingdom of heaven. Only those who do the will of the Father. What is the will of the Father? Believe on Him whom He has sent. That is the work of God. What is the will of the Father? That I be conformed to the image of Christ. That I be responsive to God. That I have faith developed in me, because without faith it's impossible to please Him, in Hebrews 11:6. To allow God to love me is the will of the Father. Those who allow God to love them and thereby have the remaining fruits of the Holy Spirit produced in them are those who are filled with the Holy Spirit, reproducing what the Holy Spirit has given them, manifesting it. And those who have an evidentiary assurance, not a subjective assurance. We can have a subjective assurance through the Word of God, and absolutely we should. But an evidentiary assurance, an assurance based on the evidence that is provided by the presence of the Holy Spirit's fruit. Now, many will come to the Lord in that day and say, didn't we do many wonderful things? And He will tell them, depart from me. He will say, I never knew you. Because they had production, but they didn't have love. You see, this is where 1 Corinthians 13:1-3 come in again. They had production, and they had ample production, and they had religious production, and they even cast out demons and did wonderful works, and they had all this production and all this outward manifestation of effort, of desire, of sincerity, but they never possessed the fruit of the Spirit. Now here's the thing about the fruit of the Spirit. 1 John 4 tells us God is love. God is love. That's why 1 Corinthians 13:1-3, I may have all these things, but if I don't have love, I don't have anything, because I don't actually possess God. And so we have to understand the gravity and the importance, the significance of the fruit of the Spirit in our own lives. The Holy Spirit is present, and if a person is not fruitful, the Holy Spirit will minister to them. He will try to get them to become fruitful. But I can't help but wonder, and I don't have the answer for this fully. Only God knows who is who. But if a person never has fruit in their lives, were they saved? It could be that they were simply carnal, and that is possible. But if I live my life entirely in carnality, what evidence do I have of my own salvation except for the subjective? There's people who have subjective evidence for all kinds of things that are nonsensical. There's people who swear they remember things from past lives, and yet we know it's nonsensical. At best, it's nonsensical. It may be demonic. The evidence of God's presence in us is the fact that love is manifested through us, that we receive His love, and that it's reproduced in us. Now, 1 Corinthians 13:4 in the A part says that love suffers long and is kind. Love suffers long and is kind. Suffering long, long-suffering patience, endurance through patience. God suffers long with us and He's kind to us. The fact that He's willing to be so patient with us, that is the mercy of God. How do I look for the love of God? What do we do to find the love of God? Well, Jude 21 says, look for mercy. That's how you will find the love of God. You look for mercy. Because patience is the expression of mercy. There are certain people who are carnal who say, well, I'm just an impatient person, as though God created them to be impatient. How dare we ever accept anything other than what God had created us to be? But they simply say, well, I'm just not a patient person. No, the problem is not that you're impatient or what kind of a person you are. The problem is that you don't know mercy. If a person is not patient, that person is not merciful, because they don't possess the mercy of God. They don't know what the mercy of God is, because they don't fully know God. And so, we look for the mercy of God if we want to keep ourselves in the love of God. As far as the fruit of the Holy Spirit goes, if I'm someone who has the fruit of the Holy Spirit reproduced in me, it doesn't mean that I will never fail. It means that when I fail, I'm oriented to the mercy of God as the first expression of the love of God. Something happens, I get on the highway in the fast lane and the guy's going very slow and it's making me crazy, and I fail perhaps, and I think terrible things toward that person, or just don't love them. And I look for the mercy of God in that time. I don't get condemned. I don't even think about it a second time. I simply look for the mercy of God. If I look for the mercy of God, then it won't be too long before I'm able to express the mercy of God. Love is merciful because it is long-suffering in its patience. It doesn't give me what I deserve. Instead, it gives me what I don't deserve. It gives me kindness. How many of us really deserve kindness? I'm sure there are some who would say, oh, I deserve kindness. Well, at best, God said we are unprofitable servants. What kindness do we deserve? Jesus said, when a servant comes in from the field and the master says to that servant, make me dinner, the servant makes dinner for his master before he eats anything himself. Why? Because he is the servant. He is not profitable. He is simply there to serve. We are servants. We're not profitable God. We don't increase Him. We're loved by Him, but we don't increase Him. The reason why He loves us is because He created us to be loved by Him. Consider Genesis 2:7, where the Word of God says, out of the dust of the ground, God created Adam, and He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. Out of the dust of the ground, the word ground, Adam, God created man, Adam. Same root word, means to show blood. Why did he show blood? Because of sin. Why was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world in Revelation 13:8? Because God knew man would sin. And why did God allow all that? Because God knew man would sin. It's not that God ordained sin. It's not even that God uses it per se. He allows it because it serves a purpose in the expression of who He is. Sin itself serves no purpose. But His attitude, His response to sin, serves a tremendous purpose. It allows him to express his nature. It allows him to express the character, the essential character of who God is, where it could never be expressed to the angels who are perfect. You see, God had to express, and so he allowed sin in order to put man in a position where he would receive what God had to give. That's the purpose of God. That's the first fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love. The love of God. And here's the thing. The love of God cannot be received in self-orientation. Notice what took place in the Garden of Eden. They were having fellowship with God on a daily basis. They would meet him in the cool of the day, and they would fellowship with him, and he would teach them Bible doctrine. But something happened. The enemy came, and he deceived them, and he got them to become self-oriented. And the very first thing that happened when they were self-oriented was they removed themselves from God. In other words, they removed themselves from the essence and the source of love. They walked away from love and self-orientation. Here's the thing. A person who is self-oriented is incapable of receiving the love of God. It's not saying that that person is blocking the love of God. They're simply incapable of receiving it. It's like if you have a glass and you want to pour water in it, you have to have the glass oriented properly in order for the water to go in. But if you turn the glass upside down and you do not orient it properly, you can pour water all over it, but no water will get in. It's like that with self-orientation. Self-orientation is disorientation. When I'm oriented to God, I am not oriented to self. When I'm oriented to self, I'm not oriented to God. The cross is simply the mechanism of God orientation. When we pick up a cross and deny ourselves, as Jesus said, it simply means that we stop living in self-orientation and we live in God orientation. God-centered versus self-centered. God-focused rather than self-focused. A person who is impatient is a person who is self-oriented. A person who is proud is a person who is self-oriented. A person who is jealous or envious is one who is self-oriented. A puffed-up person is one who is self-oriented. A person who is selfish and constantly seeking their own thing in their own way is a person who is self-oriented. A person who thinks evil is a person who is self-oriented. A person who is easily provoked is a person who is self-oriented. These people lack the love of God because they are self-oriented. But love is different. Love doesn't get jealous or envious. It doesn't get puffed up and show itself off and parade itself. It's not rude. It doesn't seek its own. It's not easily provoked. It's not impatient. It's not unkind. It doesn't think any evil. You see, why does it do that? Because it's not self-oriented. There's a cross involved in love. And in fact, the only way for us to reach love is through the cross. Because there's a cross involved in the love of God. When Adam and Eve fell, they put down the cross. That was the fall. They put down the cross. They stopped being God-oriented, and they became self-oriented, and they walked away from the love of God. God came after them. But something had to happen in order for them to receive love again. Death had to take place. And now God orientation can only take place when I reckon on the death that I experienced through Christ with him on the cross. Love requires that cross. Can't be expressed any other way. Love requires that cross. But we were created for that, to receive the love of God. We were created for that. Love of God is long-suffering in its patience, and it's profoundly kind. Ask yourselves as you listen to this, are you long-suffering in your patience? Are you profoundly kind? Be honest. Are you long-suffering in your patience? And are you profoundly kind? If you are, then you have the love of God. If you are, you perhaps possess the fruit of the Spirit, the love of God. But if you are not, then it is because there are places in your life where you are still self-oriented, where it's about you. It's about how you feel and what you think and how things affect you and how it makes you look or whatever. It's all about you still in those areas. Those are areas where loss is present. Not only loss of the love of God, but ultimately because the fruit of the Spirit is the 1 Corinthians 3:12 precious stones. It's eternal loss that is present. People become very proud or arrogant, and they get very self-oriented, and they're unkind, and they're impatient. What they don't realize is that they are also impoverished because they have no precious stones in eternity, for eternity. Because that which is the origin and the source of all that is the fruit of the Spirit is missing in their lives. And such a person is indeed impoverished in eternity. A person like that needs to turn to the love of God, look for mercy for themselves as well as for others. A person like that needs to masticate the love of God. Meditate on it day and night. Ponder it. Contemplate it. Reflect on it. Sometimes a person like that is too self-righteous to reflect on the love of God. And in that case, God will show them the fallacy of their self-righteousness. And He will give them opportunity to receive mercy from God. The love of God is suffering long in its patience, and it's profoundly kind. It's not jealous. It's not jealous. It doesn't envy. It's not jealous. It doesn't look at you and say, "Boy, I'm not happy you have that. I wish I had that instead of you." It doesn't show itself off. It's not elevated in its own opinion. In Habakkuk 2:4, the soul that is lifted up is not upright in him. It doesn't lift up its emotions or its opinions, its own natural thinking. It doesn't lift up its insecurities. It's not puffed up in that way. It's not rude. It's very kind and gracious and polite. Didn't think that politeness was a fruit of the Spirit, did you? But it is. Let me ask you something. The people you are close to, are you polite with them? It's easy to be polite to strangers. You're putting your best foot forward and putting on a production that's dictated by culture and how culture defines proper behavior. But the people you are close to, perhaps people in your family or close friends, are you polite with them? Do you ever express those simple things, not as platitudes, but as a genuine heartfelt, for example, appreciation, and you say thank you in a heartfelt manner? Not because you ought, but because you actually are thankful. Or perhaps, if you lose your temper, do you start to ridicule or deride or use foul language? Or are you even polite when you're not happy about something? Do you exercise a little bit of self-control and restrain yourself? Restrain your old sin nature? You see, that's a fruit of the Spirit. That's a part of love that people don't often consider. Politeness. See, love is not rude. Love doesn't seek its own way, its own thing, its own pleasure. What is it that's being interfered with in your life? Does it make you angry, resentful, or bitter? Perhaps there's an element of the fruit of the Spirit that is missing. Love is not there. Love doesn't seek its own way. Are you more concerned about what you are doing than the reason why you are doing it? Sometimes it can happen in ministry. People become so occupied with the detail of ministry, they forget the purpose of ministry. Sometimes it can happen that people are so concerned with whatever details they're into, they get unkind to people because somebody perhaps interrupts them. I would say that that person is void of the fruit of the Spirit at that time. There is something lacking in their soul, and there is eternal loss present. It's not a good thing. It's not easily provoked. Here's one. It doesn't think evil. It doesn't think evil. It doesn't think ill of anyone. It doesn't gossip. Somebody has something to say and it practices James 4:11, speak not evil one toward another. It won't accept it. It doesn't look to harm anyone. It won't even think about it. And it doesn't care whether they have the facts or not the facts. Those things are irrelevant. You see, it is concerned with loving people. Can you imagine if Jesus accepted what the Pharisees said about the woman caught in adultery? And he started to think the evil that they thought. Do you know what would happen? You and I would go to hell because Jesus would no longer be the Savior. But we're the body of Christ. How is it that the body of Christ doesn't conform to the head? How is it that the master is not greater than the servant when people think evil? I'll tell you how. They don't love. Don't say you love unless it's true. In other words, don't say you love if you're willing to think evil. Don't say you love if you're willing to be impatient with people. Don't say you love if you're willing to be unkind. Don't say you love if you're jealous of people. Or get this, don't say you love if you're rude or puffed up. Love doesn't do those things. Love is patient and it's kind. It's profound in its patience and kindness. It doesn't rejoice in iniquity. That word rejoice is not what we think of. Love does not rejoice. The word is kare. And it means to thrive and to be well. Love does not thrive where there is iniquity. Love does not thrive where there is iniquity. Where there is iniquity, where there is this self-oriented emotionalism that says, I will, in rebellion against the heart of God. Love cannot thrive in that kind of a setting. But it rejoices in truth. And that word rejoices is a different word. It's suk kere. And it means it takes part in another person's joy. It congratulates in truth. It's joyful over the things of Christ. In other words, somebody perhaps does something and love is joyful over the fact that the blood has been shed and that person has been forgiven. You see, that's the nature of love. It requires a cross. How do I not think evil in self-orientation? Why am I not puffed up in self-orientation? How do I not get rude, at least in my own heart, in self-orientation? It's not possible. Love requires a cross. But it's okay. The cross is the path to God's life. Love won't exist apart from a cross. Cannot be received, cannot be manifested. It requires a cross. So that tells me that the fruit of the Spirit cannot come if there is no cross in a person's life. But when the cross is present, the fruit of the Spirit will be present. Because where the cross is present, we live the life of God in Galatians 2:20. And we have His character and His heart shed abroad in ours. Amen.